You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
I think our best plan is not to give him that accolade of martyrdom.
Some British lawmakers believe banning Donald Trump from the United Kingdom could have unintended consequences, namely making the Republican presidential candidate look like a martyr. Labour MP Paul Flynn pointing out his concern as the British Parliament took up debate on the subject yesterday. The debate came about because a petition calling for a ban on Trump drew more than 500,000 signatures. Others were all for keeping the real estate mogul out, with one lawmaker saying it would be justified on grounds of, quote, religious harmony. The calls for Michigan Governor Rick Snyder's resignation or prosecution over the Flint water emergency are growing. Snyder will deliver his State of the Union address today, and all eyes will be on him wanting to see what he says about the lead contamination crisis. Dozens marched yesterday calling for him to be arrested. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Of all the people running for president this year, only one has actually defended your right to keep and bear arms in the nation's highest courts. When Washington, D.C. tried to strip its residents of their rights under the Second Amendment, Ted Cruz assembled a coalition of 31 states to support those rights. Action, not talk. That is Ted Cruz. Isn't that what you want from a president?
The Victory 2016 Committee is responsible for the content of this ad.
Know what's always on my mind, kid? Safety. I live, eat, and breathe safety. When I wake up in the morning, I have a large cup of safety with two sugars and a dash of safety. Safety matters. Your safety, my safety, everybody's safety. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products, services, and resources to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. Now pass me one of those safety donuts over there. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Glenn Frey, founding member and guitarist for the Eagles, has died. TMZ has reported the cause of death was a combination of complications from rheumatoid arthritis, acute ulcerative colitis, and pneumonia. Glenn Frey had been battling intestinal issues for months and had surgery in November. The last days of his condition took a turn for the worse, and he died yesterday in New York City. Glenn co-wrote and sang most of the Eagles' hits, including Take It Easy, Tequila Sunrise, Lion Eyes, and Heartache Tonight. He also co-wrote Hotel California and Desperado with Don Henley and took home 6 Grammys with the band. Glenn went on to launch a successful solo career, recording numerous hits, most notably The Heat Is On. A Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Grammy winner, and co-founder of the Eagles, Glenn Frey is dead at 67. Powered by WesternJournalism.com, you're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
A Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Staples can help. We have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water.
I wouldn't.
We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Yeah.
Staples. Make more happen. And right now, buy any HP ink cartridge and get the second half off.
Limit 2 per customer ends 1/16/16. Price match plus the 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Ends 3/26/16. See store or staples.com for details.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is repeating his call to break up the biggest banks in the U.S.
When you have the six largest financial institutions having assets of 60% of the GDP of America, it is very clear to me what you have to do. You got to bring back a 21st century Glass-Steagall legislation, and you got to break up these huge financial institutions.
In the latest Democratic presidential debate, Sanders said they are simply too big and too powerful. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton praised President Obama for backing legislation to regulate Wall Street after the 2008 financial meltdown. Clinton said Sanders' voting record doesn't match his populist rhetoric. Sanders told the NBC debate that it's tough to regulate Wall Street titans when they're sending huge amounts of money to some presidential candidates. Sanders has accused Clinton of being too cozy with Wall Street. Meantime, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley called for more regulatory, quote, cops on the beat on Wall Street.
I have put forward a plan that would actually put cops back on the beat of Wall Street. I have put forward a plan that was heralded as very comprehensive and realistic. Look, if a bank robber robs a bank and all you do is slap him on the wrist, he's just going to keep robbing banks again.
Hillary Clinton talked about some of the common ground with her rivals on the issue of banks.
Well, there's no daylight on the basic premise that there should be no bank too big to fail and no individual too powerful to jail. We agree on that.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I'm the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or carrying out technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. These segments will include news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me there. Good morning at HuntingChamberRadio.com is my email address. The phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. And to contact me outside of the show, BluePantherBIZ.com. Well, welcome to another day of Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Tons of things to talk about, lots of new innovations and updates on some of the technologies that are out there. And so let's get started immediately. First one is, remember this last year, the NSA, remember that, the spying program? Well, they're back. Reuters and Dustin Voice on January 15th reported that a new system for collecting domestic telephone records meets several privacy and civil liberties benchmarks, the U.S. National Security Agency said on Friday. The program, which some Republican presidential hopefuls have criticized because they say it puts Americans at greater risk of attack by Islamic State and other violent groups, has satisfactorily compiled with eight privacy safeguards, complied with eight privacy safeguards that include transparency, oversight, data minimization, and use limitations since its implementation in November. Oh, surprise. I didn't know we had that implemented in November. According to a report that was released by the NSA's Civil Liberties and Privacy Officer, the NSA ended its daily vacuuming of millions of Americans' phone metadata, meaning the numbers and timestamps of calls, but not their content, late last year after Congress passed a law reforming some of the government's surveillance practices. A presidential review committee found that the bulk data collection exposed in 2013 by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden was an ineffective tool in fighting terrorism. Oh, surprise. The data collection was also criticized by privacy advocates and tech companies wary of broad governmental surveillance. Under a replacement program that took effect on November 29th, NSA and law enforcement agencies must get a court order and ask communications companies like Verizon to authorize monitoring of call records of specific people or groups for up to 6 months. While some Republicans vying for the White House have criticized the shutdown of bulk program, other Republican contenders have defended it. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas has defended his vote in favor of NSA reforms by saying that the new program actually is capable of collecting a greater percentage of calls than the old one due to technical upgrades. Some privacy advocates expressed skepticism at Friday's report, given the level of secrecy shrouding the U.S. intelligence community. Quote, the U.S. Freedom Act ended bulk collection, but this report leaves us guessing just how good a job it did, said Robin Green, policy counsel with Open Technology Institute at the New America, a Washington think tank. The other four privacy principles that have been compiled with are individual participation, purpose specification, data quality, and data security. So it sounds like the NSA has come up with a number of items that they have to meet with a privacy officer overseeing that, but hey, I don't know really where that privacy officer's allegiances lie, he or she, I suppose, has to report to somebody, but we've seen time in and time again that the government tends to do things and then ask forgiveness later, but we'll see. At this point, it sounds like more along the lines of warrant type procedures where the government has a specific group or specific person that they're trying to track. They have made that determination. They will go and ask a particular agency for them to allow for the viewing of the records, and that agency will allow that for a 6 month period and then shut it down. We'll have to hope that the AT&T's and Comcast's and Verizon's of the world make sure that they have that facility in place. I'm sure they do. And so that's where are we at? We're back into the surveillance business. The NSA has not gone away, much to everybody's surprise. Some interesting things regarding apps. And two articles here, one from Apple, and the other one from WhatsApp, which was taken over, I believe, I remember, from Facebook, so or by Facebook. And it's a turn in business with technology. Apple is to start charging for iTunes Radio, Reuters on January 15th reported. This is on Yahoo.com. It says that Apple said it will soon start charging for iTunes Radio, its music streaming service that competes with Pandora Media, Inc. iTunes Radio, which was announced in 2013, will no longer be free from the end of January, Apple said in a statement. The ad-supported service, available only in the United States and Australia, will be folded into Apple Music, which costs $9.99. Beats One, the global 24/7 radio station, will now be the free music option for listeners. So iTunes Radio that Apple gave you, hooked you in, and now you're saying, ah, that's great, I'm going to use it. Now all of a sudden, it's going to cost you money. Now, don't get that confused with TuneIn, okay? iTunes and TuneIn are two different services, and we are on TuneIn. That's 100 Chamber Radio. We're also on Live 365, and both of those are free. But iTunes Radio now is going to cost you. And, you know, it's going to come one other. Either they're going to subject you to ads, so somebody is paying for the money, for the use of the station and the service, or they're going to charge you. So if you don't want the ads, you're going to pay. In this particular case, Apple doesn't give you the option. They're basically saying, we've decided we're not going to use the sponsorship role, and we're just going to make you pay for it directly. We've also reported over the last couple of weeks and months that copyright, especially with regard to music, is pretty big. And so iTunes and TuneIn and all the other radio stations that need to somehow pay for those royalties to play that music need to capture that money somehow. And so it's up to that particular radio station to collect that money and submit it with regard to royalties and copyright. So that's what's happening there. Now, WhatsApp was a subscription service, and now it's going to be free. The Verge and Tom Warren reported on the 18th, he says that WhatsApp is dropping its subscription fees to access the popular messaging service. WhatsApp introduced fees a few years ago, forcing new users to pay an annual 99-cent subscription after the first year. As we've grown, we've found that this approach hasn't worked well, admits WhatsApp in a company blog post today. Many WhatsApp users don't have a debit or credit card number, and they worried they'd lose access to their friends and family after their first year. So over the next several weeks, we'll remove fees from the different versions of our app, and WhatsApp will no longer charge you for our service. If you've been using WhatsApp for the 6 years it has been available, then you're probably never experienced the subscription fees. Most original users were granted a free lifetime service, but in recent years, the company introduced a subscription to new users. Recode reports that if you're already paid the 99 cents for the year, then there won't be a refund, but subscription fees will cease immediately. WhatsApp now has nearly 1 billion users, so the free timing removes the barrier for many millions to join the messaging service. The Facebook-owned service appear to be planning to generate revenue through services to businesses. We will test tools that allow you to use WhatsApp to communicate with businesses and organizations that you want to hear from. That means that you might be able to send WhatsApp messages to your bank or airline in the future. And WhatsApp isn't planning to enable third-party ads within the service. And it's sticking to its original principles. The founder of WhatsApp were strongly opposed to ads, noting back in 2012 that when advertising is involved, you, the user, are the product. So there you go. WhatsApp is growing, and now they've decided that they can't afford to lose more users because of fees and credit cards. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of Tech Today on HunChamberRadio.com. Thank you. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Corking Company. And I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. All right, welcome back to Tech Today. We're just talking about iTunes making their changes and WhatsApp making their changes, and not all of our software companies are making changes, and one of them is Microsoft. The Verge reports that Microsoft's last Lumia, reportedly launching on February 1st. Tom Warren on January 18th reported on TheVerge.com that the future of Microsoft's Windows Phone efforts is still unclear. After writing off most of its Nokia deal to the tune of $7.6 billion last year, Microsoft's revealed it would be introducing a more effective phone portfolio. We've seen the Lumia 950 and Lumia 950 XL emerge as the first flagship Windows 10 handsets, but the only low-end alternative is the $139 Lumia 550. That might change next month. Windows Central reports that Microsoft is planning to unveil its Lumia 650 phone on February 1st with little fanfare. It's reportedly a business-focused handset with a 5-inch display, 1 gig of RAM, 8 gig of storage, and an 8-megapixel camera. The specifications and Lumia numbering indicate it's designed as a budget Windows 10 phone. Windows Central claims that the Lumia 650 is the last Lumia, and that the software maker will focus on its rumored Surface phone for this year. If true, then Microsoft's use of the Lumia brand could be coming to an end. And Microsoft's Surface chief indicated to The Verge in October that Microsoft wants a consistent design across its devices. But it's still not clear if the Surface branding will be used for future Windows phones. Microsoft is reportedly working on a Surface phone that's expected to debut later this year. So yeah, you can see how Microsoft is unveiled the Surface tablets over the last couple of years, and last year unveiled a bigger one. Big ad campaign with regard to that and the way the new keyboard was designed. And with Windows 10 being an operating system that runs across all devices in the same manner, it stands clear that Microsoft's game plan is to make sure that its phone, its tablet, and PCs all do the same thing. This way they don't have to keep writing different software for each type of device. So with the Lumia brand, it appears that they had to write a kind of a dumbed down or a modified version of Windows 10. And they don't want to do that anymore. So they have Surface, which they did for tablets, and sounds like they can condense it down for smaller devices such as phones. It obviously runs on PCs. So Microsoft can unveil, can provide one operating system that all these devices can use the same way. And you as the user also benefit because you are now familiar with the same metaphors, the same keystrokes, the same clicks, the same interface on all devices. And so that's the game plan, is to stop making you, the user, having to learn different operating systems and different metaphors and different user interfaces for each device. So you feel more comfortable, you have the same operating system all over the place, and everybody's happy. And those that are in the Apple world, well, you got the same problem as Microsoft, which is you have the operating system for the Macs, you have the OS X for tablets, and you have iOS for the phones and the iPads and stuff like that. So same issue, and Apple is probably moving in that similar direction as well. So there's some hardware changes going on. Microsoft, it's funny to see Microsoft getting involved in hardware when it normally is involved in just software. It's a little hard to get used to. Well, we're back to talking about Microsoft. With regard to Windows 10, Yahoo Tech reports that unlock Windows 10 God mode and more with our favorite tricks and shortcuts. And so I've done this in the past where I've told you about Easter eggs, they call it. It's special little changes or little features. They're fun that the developers put in the operating system or the games. And it creates stir and publicity. And so there are a ton of new features that are hard to miss in Windows 10. Cortana, Microsoft's Edge browser, the start menu everybody wishes Microsoft to put into Windows 8, and the list goes on, but there are quite a few more that aren't so obvious. I never would have guessed it, but Microsoft also has an Alt tab as one of the least used features in Windows. It's incredibly simple, and it makes switching between apps incredibly easy. Just hold down Alt and tap one of the tab keys, and your screen will fill with icons for every app running in Windows. I use this all the time, so I'm not surprised. Keep hitting the tab until you highlight the app you want to bring to the front and let go, and the app will be in the front of your screen. If you want to split your screen between two or four apps, if you can get the hang of it, Windows 10 Snap Assist lets you drag a window toward the edge of the screen, then snap it in place. Unfortunately for some, it takes a ton of practice. Instead, I hold down the Windows key and use the left or right arrow to pin it to the left or right side of the screen. Tapping the up and down arrow will then drop it from the half screen to a quarter. It's a quick way and a slick way of using more than one app at a time. Task Manager isn't new to Windows 10, and it's always been the best to kill a program that's locked up. But there's a lot more worth checking out. To launch Task Manager, hit Control-Alt-Delete and select Task Manager, or hit Windows key R, type in Task Manager, and hit Enter. Something not running right, click on it, and then hit the End Task button. And next tip, inside Task Manager, click on the Processes tab, and then CPU, and you'll see just why your fan goes on every time you play a Flash video. It's using a lot of CPU. Click on the Startup tab, and you'll see every app that launches when you start Windows, and you can turn off the ones that slow down Windows if you want. The App History tab is really cool. It lets you know how much CPU time and data each app is using, but only for apps from inside the Windows Store. Windows 10 brought a bunch of new keyboard shortcuts. Windows key plus C launches Cortana in listening mode, so you can speak commands. Windows key I opens the settings app. Windows key task gives you the Alt plus Tab task view in full screen. And Windows key D shows you your desktop, while Windows key X opens a list of power user features like the disk management tool or device manager. Which brings me to Windows God Mode, also known as the Windows Master Control Panel shortcut. To access it, create a new folder on the desktop and rename it, cutting and pasting it, a good idea, cutting brackets off. God Mode, and then it has a setting key, Windows setting key here that's rather lengthy. With this, you'll get a control panel icon labeled God Mode and gives you fast access to hundreds of features that are usually buried inside Windows settings. Well, from allowing apps through the firewall to troubleshooting tools, storage spaces, even the cursor blink rate, would you find it annoying? I think I'm way over the five features tucked inside Windows 10, and I haven't been mentioned Windows Feedback, the app that lets you tell Microsoft directly what you think of features inside Windows. You can upvote to tell Microsoft you're seeing the same problem as other folks and more. Some feedback has thousands of upvotes. So lots of cool things to do. The only one, I do use the Alt-Tab a lot. I've been used to that for years because I tend to switch back and forth between apps pretty quickly. I would say, Microsoft, the one disappointment with the Alt-Tab is it used to allow me to show the desktop. And it doesn't let me do that anymore. So I have to get used to the Windows key D to show the desktop, because I used to use the Alt-Tab to alternate to the desktop. It used to give you one of the options instead of the windows that were open. And so that's a little bit more getting used to. But for the most part, lots of cool features that Windows supplies to make you efficient and being able to use multiple windows at the same time. We move on from Windows God Mode and all those other options to how to build your ultimate free PC security suite. So this comes from PC World. So for those of you who don't have security on your PC, and you really do need one because you'll have a problem at some point with some viruses, take some time to secure your PC without spending a dime. And here you go from Nick Mediotti on PC World. He says, the pros and cons of free. Going free can save some cash, but it isn't a panacea. When you buy a paid antivirus product, you usually get some form of customer support with it. Free products, you are often on your own when it comes to solving problems. Also, going free means that you have to stitch together a combination of utilities, so it sometimes takes a little trial and error to find the best tools for your needs. Premium suites offer seamless, relatively pain-free security solutions. Free products also often include browser toolbars or other add-ons that you might not necessarily want. In some cases, freebies will include ads that help makers pay the bills. In some cases, the ads and add-ons are a small price to pay, saving some dough. In to others, though, they can be downright intrusive, and as ever, be sure to be mindful what you're installing free programs to avoid installing bloatware that you don't want. So antivirus software is the key component of any security suite, and for good reason. It's going to be your primary defense against malware. And it comes to free antivirus apps, you have some good options. First one is Avast free antivirus and Panda free antivirus, two free products that are worth you paying attention. According to recent benchmarks published by German antivirus testing firm AV-Test, Panda's freebie did an excellent job at stopping malware, and it didn't result in a single false positive. Avast free antivirus put up solid all-around numbers, though it wasn't quite as good as Panda's. No matter which antivirus app you choose, make sure you pick one that does a good job at catching so-called zero-day attacks. Antivirus programs that can stop zero-day attackers are going to be more effective at stopping a brand new malware, which is very important given how quickly malware can evolve. Have a secondary antivirus app. Yes, I talk about this all the time. Antivirus apps do not have everything figured out, and you're at the mercy of the programmers who put the keys into the antivirus databases. So you want to have a secondary one, because if you have Panda, and Panda doesn't get around to putting the new zero-day virus key in there, you want to have a second one so you can minimize the opportunity of a particular malware, especially a new one, showing up on your desktop. Now, to be honest with you, many times viruses, zero-day viruses, don't show up as often as it's indicated here. More often than not, we are subject to many of the older ones that show up again and again and again. So, again, having the double antivirus software there is definitely a help. And so, best to have two at least. So even the best traditional antivirus software can have a hard time removing stubborn, deeply embedded malware. With this in mind, it's good to have a secondary one, and I'm glad to note that this article does the same thing I do. It recommends Malwarebytes, malware-free. It can provide an extra layer of security against internet baddies. It isn't really intended for use as a primary antivirus, but you can use it alongside most other antivirus programs. So if you find that you have a virus and you find that your antivirus program that you've been using has not necessarily been solving the problem, then having Malwarebytes and running a scan with them might typically solve that problem. I have had situations where even Malwarebytes was not effective. Sometimes it was because the virus was written in such a way to actually ignore Malwarebytes. It actually shut it down. So I had to go out and find other ones, but that's very, very rare. So Malwarebytes is going to take care of a good portion of it. But as I said, Malwarebytes is a scanning tool, and it's not a on-the-spot inspection tool. So the first antivirus one that we're just talking about, Panda and Avast, those scan your emails and those scan anything that's being downloaded right then and there. It will not let that go on your desktop or in your file folders before it is scanned. And so it will kill it before it even lets it on your computer. Malwarebytes, the free one anyway, the paid one will do that, but the free one will not. And so if you happen to have unfortunately let something on your desktop that you didn't want on there, you might not have known it at the time, and perhaps the software that you were running ignored it or didn't catch it. Malwarebytes will search your entire computer for those types of viruses and extract them. So that's the difference there. So you can run a scan to help out. Moving on from there, a firewall. Windows comes with a built-in firewall that's turned on by default, and it's a good basic option, but if you want something with more flexibility, you have some options. Take a look at Komodo Free Firewall and Zone Alarm Free Firewall. These two utilities come with additional features and configuration options and other more protection than built-in firewall alone. Windows firewall should suffice most people. It's also quietly in the background, and until it detects a suspicious connection attempt, it's low maintenance, and low maintenance can be, but it also only flags inbound penetration attempts by default. That's where the more robust Komodo and Zone Alarm tools come in handy, as they also monitor outbound connections. So what does a firewall do for you? Well, you've probably heard about some types of malware and viruses where somebody has taken over your computer, unbeknownst to you. In fact, sometimes I've had been emailed by my ISP that says, you've got some virus on your computer because we're seeing so many outbound connections. And so what happens is these viruses allow potentially a hacker to use your computer as the source of hacking other people's computers. They're not using their own. They want you to be the guinea pig, the one that that everybody's focused on. So the firewall locks down many of the holes or doors, if you want to call it that, that allows you connect to other computers. And the firewalls usually stop the connections from coming in. But if the virus happened to get on your desktop, you wouldn't know it. And the Microsoft firewall will not tell you that you have all these outbound doors. And so these other two will tell you that there's some connections going out that you may or may not have set up. So that's your security suite there. Two options, actually four programs, that will help you tremendously in protecting you and your computer. So check all that out. Free stuff and pretty good. Well, let's see. We're at another breaking point. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. You know, we keep talking about all the different things that we do, technology, and how that happens to leave you with a tremendous amount of trail of what you do and all the different places it goes. And one of the most innocuous ones, one of the ones that you do almost every time, might not be everybody, but certainly the younger generation does it, is selfies. And Wired.com talks about your selfies are insecure, and here's how to encrypt them. Something you didn't even think about. April Glazier of Gear reported on the 18th. And this is on Wired.com. It says, for some, texting is like talking. It's an intimate way to have a conversation. But how intimate is it? Exactly when you count up all the participants, yourself, your phone, your data carrier, the person on the other end of the line, their phone, their data carrier, the corporations who run the servers that move your messages to and fro, and probably a government or two, it's more like a party line. The social networking giants promise secure back channels, but that's not always the case. Even if your ex isn't reading your Facebook messages, Facebook might be. The company was sued in 2014 for allegations of data mining personal messages in order to serve more precise ads. Last year, Google announced it's going to start mining your inbox activity to better target its ads to you and your network of friends. And so, standard SMS isn't secure. And while many of the most popular messaging apps use end-to-end encryption, they can still leave you exposed. It's time to look for a mobile messaging solution that's more secure, grants more privacy, and gives you a place where you can talk more freely. Listed below are three free apps that allow you to send safe, encrypted messages on your phone for when things really do need to stay low. So here we go. Signal is the first one. It's called an encryption. It's an encryption, shouldn't be synonymous with bad design. Check out Signal, an app made by the crew at Open Whisper Systems that allows for secure encrypted text messages and phone calls between Android and Apple phones. Plus, it's ad-free and costs nothing, a perk of the company being a non-profit. There's a lot to rave about with Signal. You can securely send photos, videos, and links, and it's all encrypted end-to-end. Perfect for those racy selfies you've been nervous about. Signal also has a great group message feature, so you and your coworkers can privately share embarrassing cell phone vids of the boss with a little more confidence. Not that I would suggest you do that. The app has a lot of features that you can customize, like the ability to only open it with a password and the option to automatically delete older messages after a conversation reaches a certain length. But here's the coolest thing. Signal provides free long-distance encrypted calls and texts over your phone's data plan or Wi-Fi, made possible by using servers all over the world. If you're still not convinced, don't take my word. Edward Snowden says he uses Signal every day. So you can also take a look at the code, which is openly available online for the perusal. There's one catch. Both you and your friends need to use Signal for the encryption to work. So your best bet might be to convince your pals to all download it at the next party. So let's take a step back for a minute.
what we were talking about prior to this first app, Signal, is that if I write a text message, it's in text. It's something that if I opened a message without looking at the actual application, I'd still be able to see the letters and the numbers that are included in that. It's wide open. Now, Verizon and AT&T say that they're going to encrypt it, and they might. But chances are it doesn't. The app that you have might encrypt it, but it doesn't. And so it goes across the wire, and anybody that can capture that message can look right into it. So the idea is to take all those numbers and letters and put a code to them, a secret code, kind of like when you were when you were a kid and you had a decoder ring. And so Signal says, I'm going to take your message, whatever it is, and I'm going to scramble it in a certain key way and send it. And if somebody captures it in between, they won't be able to figure out what it is because they won't have the key. The key, however, is on the other end, received by your friend, who also has the key, to unlock it. So you both have the secret decoder ring with the same secret decoder code. And that's how encryption works. So Signal has the ability to do it, but you got to have everybody doing it the same way. Obviously, if I have an Android and you have an iPhone, and we're just sending text across, there's no key between the two of us, and so that text, that video, that phone call is all decipherable because it's the same file format and everybody knows it, and so that's the problem. ChatSecure is the next one. It says maybe you're more of the instant messaging type and prefer to connect with friends via Facebook or Google Hangouts, yet still want that extra layer of privacy. ChatSecure is your best bet. Like Signal, it's available both on iOS and Android. And ChatSecure works by using OTR, or off-the-record encryption. It's the same kind of encryption that desktop chat clients like Adium, Pigeon, and Jitsi use to encrypt your messages. ChatSecure allows someone to message you from their desktop to your phone, just like Google Hangouts app does. The difference is that if the person you're talking to is also using Google or Facebook with an off-the-record messaging app, your conversation will be fully encrypted end-to-end. Again, you need the decoder ring on both sides of the conversation. Similar to Signal, ChatSecure allows users to verify their identity, and it's got a group messaging feature, too. For the extra layer of trust, you can take a look around the code, and ChatSecure is free, fully open source. Again, it used to be that open source was something you didn't use, but now because everybody gets to see the code, people can also see when somebody's putting something diabolical inside the code. And so all of a sudden, open source, which people thought used to be insecure, happens to be the most secure because everybody gets to see it. And everybody gets to see when everybody's changing it in a dark manner. The last one is iMessage. If everyone in your clique uses an iPhone, you can feel confident that your iMessages are probably been sent securely between Apple devices. The company claims it uses end-to-end encryption automatically on iMessages. The problem is that it only works with iPhones, so you don't have to be a member of the club to get it. So you have to be a member of the club. Apple says it can't even read your text messages, much less hand over anything readable to law enforcement. If that's your concern, iMessage allows the group chat and sending pics and videos too. It talk bubbles and also indicate that you're not talking to someone using message, so you know when you're not using encryption. So Apple's got their own encryption, but the other two, again, you have to have the same key on both sides of the fence there, or else you won't be secure. So, or the other thing to do is just not do it that way. Just don't put anything out there that needs to be encrypted. And that's usually the best bet. Because even if you get it over to somebody else on the other side of the fence with their decoder ring, if that person's on your side, you're good. If that person's not on your side, they can be sending it out anyway. So you have to be sure. Anything that's digital is there forever, whether you like it or not. Now, we just talked about Apple a little bit, And we're coming back to talk about Google. Google is letting Android users install apps directly from search results. Instead, if you're getting tired of constantly going over to Google Play and download something, well, it looks like Google is giving you a shortcut. So Nick Starr reports on the 18th on The Verge that Google is testing a new feature on Android that lets users install apps from its search engine results without being routed through the Play Store. According to Android Police, the feature, which brings up a small permissions window install button just as the Play Store does, appears only to work when searching through Google app for some users and not through the Chrome browser. Google has for some time now displayed links to the Play Store on Android and to the iOS App Store on mobile Safari or iPhone users. However, this would mark the first time users can download and install an app without going through a mobile storefront. It's unclear if this feature will become widespread and usable through mobile browsers like Chrome and Safari. Google did not respond to a request for comment, but it does become a main feature, even if only for Android owners. It could bolster Google's efforts to keep the search engine relevant in a world increasingly dominated by mobile apps. After all, the company would very much like mobile users to spend as much time using Google as possible, even if it's for installing an app it doesn't make. So a little shortcut there if you happen to have search results that you're looking for to have a particular app. Now, we move on to the world of hacking once again, and here's an interesting story from thehill.com. Which says that a hacked casino is suing its cybersecurity firm. And in the world of litigation, that makes perfect sense, does it not? Katie Bow Williams reported on the 18th that a U.S. casino is suing the cybersecurity firm it hired to help handle a data breach in a case that experts say is likely the first of many. The cost of a data breach incident is staggering, and I think you're going to see a lot of lawsuits trying to determine who should pay the cost of an incident and trying to allocate blame for that, said Sarah Roman, an attorney with Carrington, Coleman, Sloman, and Blumenthal, who regularly handles data security cases. The lawsuit, filed in late December, appears to be one of the first of its kind, in which a company challenges a cybersecurity contractor on how it manages the fallout from a hack. Infinity Gaming hired TrustWave, a Chicago-based cybersecurity firm, to investigate and remedy a 2014 breach that compromised credit card information for about 300,000 customers. Affinity now alleges that it discovered a second hack that occurred during the investigation process, after TrustWave assured it that its systems were secure. It's suing TrustWave for misrepresenting its ability to protect Affinity and its data. In reality, TrustWave lied when it claimed that its so-called investigation would diagnose and help remedy the data breach, and when it represented that the data breach was, quote, contained, and when it claimed that the recommendations it was offering would address the data breach, Affinity's complaint reads, TrustWave has denied any wrongdoing and will defend itself in court. According to the Financial Times, the company did not respond to a request for comment by The Hill. Until now, most high-profile cybersecurity lawsuits have been brought by victims of data theft against breached companies. The cost of such cases can be exorbitant, pushing companies to look for ways to share the responsibility. The massive 2013 hack of retailer Target highlights the high costs for breaches. Target last year agreed to a $10 million settlement in a class action suit brought by customers exposed in the hack. In addition, the company agreed in late December to a $39 million settlement to resolve claims by banks that sought to recoup money for reimbursing fraudulent charges. In August, Target agreed to pay Visa card issuers up to $67 million to resolve claims related to the hack. Although the exact extent of fraud committed as a result of the breach isn't known, the attack had cost Target $162 million in net expenses as of January 31, 2015. The FTC has also begun to take enforcement action against firms that do not adequately safeguard consumer information. The agency has brought more than 50 suits against companies over lax cybersecurity, most of which have resulted in settlements. Such cases have created a frustrating and expensive complication for businesses that are themselves the direct victims of hackers, experts say. As a result, firms facing the high costs of data breaches are beginning to look for ways to defray those costs. Whose responsibility was it to either detect, prevent, or remedy the breach? Ronnie says, given the cost of a data breach, there's a lot of finger-pointing over who should bear that cost. Affinity claims that it was a victim of TrustWave's deceptive trade practices. It relied on TrustWave's assurances that it could remediate the breach and was consequently and proximately harmed by TrustWave's misrepresentations and omissions. According to Affinity, TrustWave knew or recklessly disregarded that it was going to and did examine only a small subset of Affinity Gaming's data systems, causing it to miss the second breach entirely, despite its promises that it had shored up Affinity's networks. Such cases will hinge on contractual expectations of both parties. So it's interesting in this regard that they'll have to prove that TrustWave didn't actually go through all the code to investigate. And I don't know how they're going to quite honestly be able to do that. The other thing that's got to come up is that TrustWave may recognize one breach and another breach might be more sophisticated or completely different that you might even not even be able to recognize it until later on. And lastly, it's interesting that this might even come down to insurance, that these folks might actually just be looking for the payout might be coming from the company, but most of these companies actually have some type of cybersecurity insurance. So eventually it comes out of the insurance companies. Now the insurance will probably go up because of that, but it's when we talk about Target paying that much money, chances are it's coming out of some type of insurance claim. All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com.